A massive art installation using roughly 5,000 square feet of colorful fabric is set to transform the facade of the Racine Art Museum. To help visualize all that material, that's more than enough to cover a basketball court. Led by a New York artist, volunteers from the community will take part in a series of sewing days. They'll get sewing machines humming and stitch together donated fabric to bring this art installation to life. Artist Amanda Browder has created more than 30 large-scale fabric installations worldwide using donated material and enlisting the help of community sewists. Her installation called Zig and Zag will cover the outside of the Racine Art Museum. Browder is an alumna of Beloit College and UW-Madison. She spoke with Kate Archer-Kent.
Paint a picture in our mind's eye. How will colorful cotton fabric transform the exterior of the Racine Art Museum?
Yeah, I mean, this is exciting. So I call myself a large-scale textile installation artist, and I drape big textile installations off of buildings in local areas where all the fabric is donated. With this one, what is so cool is that we're actually going to be basket weaving the outside of the building. So the Racine Museum on the outside has this modern kind of, I don't know what you would call it, plexiglass elements that have these 2-inch little separations. So I can... What we're going to be doing is doing these public sewing days. We're going to build all the textile together with cotton and then slowly weave the whole building, which is pretty cool.
That is so cool. And so for 20 years, you've been designing these massive fabric installations, but this is the first time you're able to weave fabric into a building's architecture because of these acrylic panels on the facade of the museum. What will a weaving technique do to your art form?
I mean, it's always a change. I mean, artists like to make adjustments to do something unique. What I love is that I kind of get to continue this use of scale with a large-scale building piece, but then use a different technique. So the weaving actually even harkens back to kind of the concept in the background of the Racine Art Museum, too, which has one of the largest collections of craft in the United States. So I feel very honored that I get to work with them and collaborate with the community to build this piece that is referenced to all those histories that are around the building.
And you're asking the community to donate their cotton fabric for this installation. What are examples of fabric donations that would work well for this project?
Yeah, and the reason we use cotton is that it's non-stretchy. You know, one thing, just to kind of do a comment on fast fashion, everything has become stretch, especially in clothing. So this is not that. When you hang something on the building or drape, it has a stretch to it, and we want to take that out. Cotton is also one of the strongest fabrics that we can use that's found in our homes. And so what I'm looking for is cotton that's colorful, saturated in tone, so rich brown, or not browns. I mean, browns are fine, but I will tell you, I'm more up for the red, green, blue. Think of the rainbow or fluorescence. But on top of that, we even use things like velvet or sequins or fluorescent materials, and we will back it with the cotton. I always just say refrain from bringing in clothing or white fabric or tan or pale colors because we already see that in our environment. So this is about an art installation and including your slice into the large scale piece.
And each slice of fabric, all of these textiles have a story to tell. What do you want to convey through this art project?
Yeah, I mean, this is the silent element of these projects, is storytelling from the local community. What are the urban and rural conversations and cultural aspects of the community that's there at this moment? It's a site-specific piece. It's site-specific to the people that show up, the fabric that we get donated, what's happening in the world at that time, locally and globally. And it's this kind of infusing that really conceptually makes the project stronger. I feel it is a celebration of the citizens that live there. And so I hope people can see that and take a step forward and participate. It's always something exciting to do.
You are holding these community sewing days at the museum, and you'll be working shoulder to shoulder with volunteers from the area to stitch together the fabric. You're a trained artist. Why do you enlist the help of community members who don't share your background?
I mean, as an artist, I remember when I called myself an artist. I made that change. And I feel that the community gives you that ability when you do call yourself an artist to do a lot more unique things. And so as an appreciation and thank you is to come back and say, hey, let's work together. Can I show you together what we can do as a collective to really make a splash on a building, on a location, some space that's familiar to you that incorporates contemporary art and incorporates a building that maybe you don't see every day, or you see it and you kind of forget that it's there. These pieces are about highlighting contemporary art locations, also just the city itself and the people that are involved.
Volunteers might say, hey, Amanda, I don't know how to run a proper zigzag stitch on a sewing machine, or I don't have experience working with textiles. How do you get people to jump in and try this?
Yeah, it's all about just seeing what happens, knowing that failure is okay. No experience is necessary. I mean, one thing that happens during what I call the public sewing days, and we're going to be sewing all over the city too. It's not just going to be at the museum. So please take a look at the calendar. When people come in, it's all about connection, hanging out, learning about what's there and what people might be interested in. There's no pressure to do anything, really. But what's great, if people want to bring their sewing machines that they have been having sit in the closet for, since the pandemic and can't remember how to thread them, or have just forgotten how to use a sewing machine and are kind of curious, all ages are welcome to come. You know, with kids, I think it's great that they can work with a parent, because then you start to build this conversation and creative making as a family. And I really hope, you know, one thing that happens with fabric is that that's where a lot of the history is. You know, we think about the storytelling and the archiving of family lore through quilts and different fabric pieces that are around our house. So I'm excited to see who shows up. There's always a mystery, and I'm excited about that.
It is bringing the community together. And I wonder, have you thought about how might this project change life in Racine?
I mean, I think that's up to the people that participate or visit. And even people that donate are part of that participation. Visitors that drive by in the middle of the night and see the piece are going to be part of it. So I think it's going to be creating this myth, this conversation, this legend, this story about a few of the people or a bunch of the people that live there and how they've interacted with the project. My favorite thing is that everyone's going to have their own story, their own experience around the project, and that's what's going to infuse to the project to make it a more interesting and conceptually strong project.
I want to rewind to 2018 when you had this fellowship to create a massive textile installation inside the old Wisconsin Power and Light plant that had long been shut down in Beloit. The piece was called Power Plant Beloit. What did you learn from that project that informs your work today?
I mean, so much. I think that, you know, I grew up in Missoula, Montana, and I moved to Beloit, Wisconsin kind of on a whim to go to school. And I was a math major for a couple of years and then decided, oh, no, yes, I'm definitely an artist. And being an artist, I was really keen on what the city of Beloit was about, you know, the locations, the people, the buildings. And the Wisconsin Power and Light building was in transition when they asked me to come back and do an artist in residence with the school. And living there back in the 90s, the plant was just functioning. It was this huge, massive building that was part of the community, but you couldn't get involved in it. You couldn't see it from the inside, but it was just there. And so the project was really a way for the citizens of Beloit and people around to come inside the building, see it before it was gutted and turned into a space for the college, and to really think about the history of what that was. It was around for about 100 years, so that history was just really important.
And Beloit donated 100% of the fabric.
Yes.
And even former plant employee uniforms were sewn into the installation. It really makes you understand just how meaningful a piece of artwork can be when people are pitching in a piece of their life through fabric.
Of course. And history, you know, documenting local time, moment history is important. And we can do that through contemporary art. It doesn't have to be just in the natural history museums or in the history books. It can be through the lens of an artist who's interested in seeing a community collaborating and knowing that what comes out of it is for the people that live there.
So going back to Racine Art Museum and the road ahead for the facade that opens in September, how long will the fabric stay up and how do you suggest people view it?
Yeah, I mean, the piece itself, you'll have to just keep aware. It's supposed to stay up for maybe 1 to 2 months, weather depending. I mean, this is always the intensity of temporary public art. But you can go and see it any time of the day, any holidays or whatever, because it'll be out there available to be seen at all times. I actually think it's really important that people go see it right away. Get it on a day where there's blue skies so that when you take that photograph, that document for yourself of that piece, you will have a memory of it in the most shining, gorgeous time. I'm excited to see how it interacts with the lake, the city around it, and the people who might be walking by.
Amanda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I love Wisconsin.
That's New York textile artist Amanda Browder talking with Kate Archer Kent. Browder's installation Zig and Zag will premiere September 18th at the Racine Art Museum's In Between Festival. The bold fabric will transform the museum's exterior, and community sewing days will get underway July 21st all around Racine.